We won't stand this morning. I'm going to ramble a little bit in the Bible. In the book of Job, chapter number 1, I want to lay a little background for the message, and I won't be long in preaching when I finally get in over there where God wants us to be today. I'd get you to stand, but I don't know where I'm going to quit. I always watch you when visiting preachers come, you stand, they start preaching, they forgot you stood up. Some of us not young as we used to be. But I can tell you this, I know nothing better to stand for this morning. Because it's going to be here when this world's burnt up. The book of Job, chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible said, "There was a man..." He was human in the land. Ain't you glad there's still a few men left in the land this morning? The Bible said, "And whose name was Job. That man was perfect, upright. He feared God, and he eschewed evil," or he run from it. It'd do us good to remember that, them principles. You can run to it or run from it. You fall the way you're leaning. I've noticed when people go to leaning out to church, they fall out. You just watch it. I've been preaching a long time. I've noticed this, when people go to getting distant and go to leaning, they soon fall out. Be careful that you lean into the inside so you fall in and not out. I want to be found leaning in and not out. The Bible said there was born unto him 7 sons, 3 daughters. He's got 3 young'uns that's come to him. Don't speak much about his wife. Goes right into verse 3 of what he had, his substance. Said he had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household full of servants. Took a whole lot of people to feed 500 yoke of oxen. And his sons went and feasted in their houses. Everything going good, they're living pretty good. Every one his day sent and called for their sisters, the 3 of them, to eat and drink with them. Verse 5, "Was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them, rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all." Boy, isn't it amazing, the older you get, you wake up and your young'uns is on you. Right now, they own your toes, young people. Gonna be a few days, they gonna get off your toes, they'll go to getting on your heart. So you find out that he got up, and when he started in his altar, his young'uns was on his mind. I noticed this morning in my praying, my young'uns got on my mind. Matter of fact, you're not much of a daddy if your young'uns don't get on your mind. You brought them in this world, see about them. The Bible said, "They may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart." He is concerned not so much about their house, but he was concerned about their heart. This did Job continually. Now there's a day. We know the devil showed up. Won't take you long when you go to trying to do right, the devil going to show up. Let me tell you this morning. Because you come to church this morning, devil going to show up down your house this week. But ain't it a blessing to know that he ain't got you yet? You see, if he got you, he wouldn't be bothering you. But he's going against what you're trying to do that's right. Now, we notice this. Remember the background of Job. He's a righteous man. None like him in all the East. The Bible said it wasn't nobody like him. His substance was so great, you could mention Job in that land, it'd be just like President Bush. Everybody knew this man, Job. Matter of fact, you went to town, he was the talk of the town. His youngins in school, when these babies walked in school, they said them's Job's youngins. They pulled up to the vote day and they'd say, there's Job and his youngins. Nobody liked him. But the Bible says now in verse number 14, there come a messenger to Job. And he said the ox was plowing and the asses feeding and the Sabaeans fell on them. They've took them away and they've slain your servants to the edge of the sword. And he said, I'm the only one escaped along to tell you about it. Verse 16, while he was speaking, there came another. Nissen said something. The fire of God's fell from heaven. He's burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped to tell you about it. While he's yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands, fell on the camels. They've carried them away and they slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell you about it. Verse 18, he is yet speaking. There came another. There's lining up to bring bad news. And so the Bible said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their older brother's house. Behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young men, and they're dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell you. Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell on the ground and worshiped. This is what he said. Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. Now I want to get into the message this morning. Turn with us in Job chapter 23. Start reading in verse number 1. I've given a little background of the story of Job. None like him, very wealthy man, very prosperous man. Many servants, many households, 10 children, 7 sons, 3 daughters. He said now in Job 23, then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter, my strokes heavier than my groaning. You know what he said? He said his trouble was greater than his complaining. Most of the time, our complaining is greater than our trouble. Amen? I want to say that again. He said, my complaint's bitter and my stroke's heavier than my groaning. His trouble was greater than his complaining. But I know a lot of times my complaining's a lot greater than my trouble. As a matter of fact, I know a lot of people's had some bad times and hard times, but I don't know of a character yet like him. The Bible said in verse number 3, that's what I'm going to preach out of this morning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I want to preach on this simple Bible subject today on where is God. Where is God? I wonder, has anything ever happened to you and you said, where's God? You know, it's sort of easy to see Him when everything's going wonderful. You on the mountaintop and the check's just put in the mailbox, you open it up and you say, well, my goodness, there's God. You get a promotion, call you in the office, say, listen, you've been thinking about quitting, but said, I want to turn the door on you. Said, I want to give you the top position. You say, my, there's God. Your baby's laying there with burning fever, and you get out and you pray, and all of a sudden the fever's gone, and you say, my goodness, there's God. The offerings is up in the church. You say, my goodness, there's God. You see the church house filled and you say, my goodness, there's God.
But I want you to hold on this morning, because it's going to be a few nights you're going to say, where is God?
It's going to be a few mornings you wake up. It's going to be a few evenings when this thing rings and you say, where's God?
And I can tell you this too by experience. It's going to be a few days the devil's going to come sit on your shoulder and say, where is your God now?
Where is God? That's what I want to preach about this morning. Where is God? Well, I want to say, first of all, Job found out that he's watching the steps that he traveled. The Bible said in verse number 10 of chapter 23, where is God? Oh, I want to tell you, he's watching the steps that you travel. You ain't took one step this week that God didn't know where you went. You ain't took one step with the lights off that God didn't know where you went. Where is God? Well, he's watching the steps I travel. Look in verse 10. He said, where's he at? But he said, I know he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Now, he's watching the steps I travel. He talked, first of all, in verse 11, about his feet. Look what he said. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. He said, everywhere God has walked, I've stepped in them steps and I've went where he wanted me to go. I've done what he wanted me to do. Talked about his feet. Then, verse 12, he talked about his food. He said, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. This is manna this morning. This is sheep food. You're going to be real spindly and spinely without this. Tribulation and persecution is going to blow you down without this. A lot of times we work on our bodies to keep them in good shape. I wonder what we're doing to work on our spirit. Got to eat right. I can tell by looking at some of you, you ain't eating right. Said, I'm concerned about my food. He says, he's watching the steps I travel. He said, he knows about my feet, knows about my food. And he said, verse 13, he said, I done found out about some facts. That's what he said. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. Let me tell you, nobody's bossing him around. Hey, sinner, you think God's sitting there wringing his hands because you won't get saved? Honey, you better be wringing your hands and calling upon a sovereign God that he'd save you before you die and go to hell. Don't you think he's sitting there belly aching and whining because you won't get saved? He done all for you he can do for you. You better realize he's the Savior. You the beggar. He ain't the beggar of salvation. Me and you's the beggar of salvation. It'd have been just and right to let us all die and go to hell in our sin. We're the beggar. He's not the beggar. We the beggar. He saves beggars. Get quiet, you want to. You won't get saved, you become a beggar. You won't get saved, you get lost. He learned about some facts. He says he does as he wants to do. And then verse 14, he said, he performeth the thing that's appointed for me, and many such things are with him. I hear about these boys. These boys go to these funny churches. They say, boy, when that storm come, we commanded that storm and it moved around Bowden. Hogwash. By the grace of God, he stopped that storm. Ain't no man going to put his hand up and redirect the tornado. There's a lot of weather men that talk about the weather, honey, but there's only one weather man that can speak to the weather this morning. Peace be still, he said. heard folks say, well, we banded together and we commanded the wind and they left. Oh, are they God? Lord, we're going to have a healing room. We're going to raise the dead. Some Baptist churches need to be raised. But honey, that apostolic power is gone from me and you this morning. We've got the Word of God, a complete canon. We got the Spirit of God that lives in us. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We have power we don't even access through the blood of Jesus this morning. He does as it pleases Him. And let me tell you something, Washington don't have his nerves tore up this morning. This economy don't have heaven depressed today. Must not be in such a downturn as we want. We all doing what we want to do. I ain't seen nobody hitchhiking in the church this morning. Restaurants, you stand in line, you can't even get in to eat. Go on down yonder to Ruby Tuesday's, old Charlie's or Applebee's today. Don't look like to me we're in a recession. Don't look like to me we in a depression. Why, I swerved and I seen a dead possum on the side of the road. Sound like to me we ain't in a depression. Honey, in the 20s and 30s, them critters didn't make it off the road. Don't be blaming economy that God don't know what He's doing. Honey, heaven ain't broke this morning. Some of you need to quit tipping. Go to tithing. Shake that head right there. That'll help you. You'll give a little old floozy-looking waitress more than you give God on Sunday morning. She come by and wink at you and wear them low-cut blouses and you give that hussy about everything you got. You won't even give God what is His this morning. Hear me? Somebody say amen. God ain't broke. I like people like they done last week who said, hey, preacher, give this to Brother Mike. Here's our tithes while we gone. We got bills to pay around here on vacation week. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Lord goodness, it snows. Y'all think God don't require tithe the week it snows? Boy, it'll get quiet when I get on your money, won't it? Oh, that preacher's preaching on money. It's part of it. It's in the Bible. You'll go down there and give $7 for a seedless watermelon and won't eat half of it. Memorial Day weekend, you'll buy all them ribs and chicken, but you'll forget about what you owe God that week. I'm still preaching. I ain't stopped preaching yet. So he said, I've learned some things about facts. He said he performs the things that's appointed for me. There's some things appointed to America that's coming that we're not going to get by. Amen. By the way, there's some things appointed to me and you that we're not going to get by. Some of y'all got more power with God than I got. Evidently, He listens to y'all more than He listens to me sometimes. There's some things appointed coming to your house. And they come to my house and we can't get around. Where's God? When everything goes to nothing, where's God? I tell you where He is. He's watching the steps I travel. I was thinking about a while ago, you know, everybody ain't a hooraying and a shouting, and it's easy to pastor a church when everybody's a shouting. It's easy to preach when everybody's a shouting. But I looked over there a while ago, as dead as y'all look this morning, I got to think, you know, God just requires faithfulness. I'm glad I don't preach every time y'all look like you want preaching. We wouldn't have much preaching. We'd have a lot of singing, a lot of bingo games, a lot of drama teams going on. We wouldn't have much preaching. Y'all like drama entertainment, don't you? And so, where's God? I want to tell you, He's watching the steps I travel. He said, I won't talk about my feet, my food, and some facts. But He said in verse 14, I won't talk about what I found. He said, this is what God's up to. He said,
For he performeth things appointed to me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence when I consider I'm afraid of him. Verse 16. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. Quit blaming everything on the devil. The Almighty troubled him. Devil can't do nothing unless God gives him permission. Remember, he come over there at Job. Now, stay with me now. It's what? 5 till? Y'all worried about your little chicken getting cold this morning? You remember over there when the devil showed up in heaven and he said, Devil, he said, where you been? Like he didn't know. He didn't ask him that because he didn't know. He asked him that so he'd tell us that we don't know. He said, I've been walking up to and fro, up amongst, in and out of it. And he said, hey, devil, have you thought about my servant Job over yonder, got all that stuff? Devil said, oh, I've been thinking about him a long time. Said, there's a problem about it. Said, I can't get over there where he's at. He said, well now, devil. Then the devil spoke up. He said, I tell you what, dude. Said, you get everything he's got. Said, he'll cuss you, God. God said, no. Devil said, well, just let me try it. He said, okay, get everything he's got, but don't touch his body. So the devil went and got everything he got. Now, don't you think it took permission for the devil to get what he got? Quit blaming everything on the devil. Everything ain't about the devil. Matter of fact, me and you cause us more problems than the devil, to me and you. This flesh on us. These old bad spirits in us cause us a whole lot more trouble than the devil. We won't blame everything on the devil. He's a scapegoat. Most of it's you. Me. Watching the steps I travel. Now this is what he said. This is what he's up to. He said, for God maketh my heart soft and the Almighty troubleth me. You know what? He's wanting to soften my heart. You know what I've noticed? That the best plow God's got is trouble. God can hook that trouble plow and come to your field, honey, and He can soften some things up. Did you know, a lot of you right now, you're real abrasive. You say, don't nothing affect me. God's got some trouble can affect you. You say, I've got everything, preacher. I just slid in here today because I ain't got nothing else better to do. Honey, you wait till God hooks that trouble plow up to that PTO shaft, pulls up down your cabbage patch, and lets that lever down. When he lets that lever down and he pushes that switch, he's got a tendency to break up some things. And nothing will break up ground no faster than trouble. Where is God? Job's lost everything he's got. He said, if I could just find him. Child of God, sometimes heaven's brass. Sometimes it sees we can't get a prayer through. Where's God? Oh, he's busy. You see, he's watching the steps I travel. Number two, he's working on the stuff I treasure. Yeah, God don't like stuff near as much as me and you do. We all about stuff. You ladies got them high-end pocketbooks. God ain't impressed with that stuff. Is that called a catch or coach? Oh, y'all all ducking now. Everybody's putting their coach pocketbook under the purse, under the seat. You see, where's God? He's watching the steps I travel, but He's working on the stuff I treasure. I've noticed everything I get real fond of, the shine gets knocked off of it down here. I built an old car one time 3 years ago. I want to, man, I could just, Brother David, I'd drive to Ringo, Georgia, just to get a little glimpse of it. Man, that thing was wonderful. I mean, that thing was just one. I said, boy, if I could, I'll never forget Christmas Eve. I got that thing, brought it back on the train. Went over to Brother Mike's house. Man, that thing had a cam hitting it. Katoon, katoon, katoon. And like what Brother Gerald said, give me some gas. Give me some gas. Give me some gas. Man, I left the running lights on that thing. I told Brother, I said, hey, Brother Mike, come here and look at this thing. He said, my goodness, preacher, that's a nice car. Brother Jason's the one got me in the trouble. What are you saying? I don't know when's the last time I drove it. You remember that you're saving up for, and if you could just get it, how bad it turned. Man, I remembered if I could just get that job, buddy, I'd be set on top of the world. But, oh, it didn't turn out the way I thought it would. That old car didn't turn out the way I thought it would. Every Friday I'd go to the mailbox. I can see that man stamp on that envelope now. Renee would bring that thing and sit on my desk. She'd say, there's your car bill. Dixie Dream Rods had Rebel bars stacked on. I could see that stinking thing in my sleep. And about what I thought I could build it for and finish it, I went down there to see it, and the money I thought I'd spend on it to have it complete, I'd had it brought it home on two tractor trailers, it's tore all to pieces. You ever turn sick on something that you really liked? You ever thought about if you could just get that house or that car? Do you remember how fine that thing smelled about the first week? Boy, it wore off quick, didn't it? Where's God at? Where's God? I can tell you where God is. He's working on my stuff that I treasure. Look what Job said. Job 19 and verse number 9. Job 19, verse number 9. Where's God? He's working on my stuff. God don't want any other gods before Him. And you listen to me, if you put your children before God, He's fixing to cause something to happen. You better listen, this preacher. If you put a husband or wife before this God, He's a jealous and an angry God. Now look what He says. He's working on the stuff we treasure. Verse number 9 of Job 19, verse of all you'll find in verse number 9, He has stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. You know something what really scares me about real self-centered, egoistic people that are saved? God's fixing to bust you. He's fixing to bust you. See what He said? He has stripped me of my glory. It's not all about us. Now listen, fellas, you've been wanting to do this all day. I'm going to give you the chance. And she won't give. Turn around and tell her right now, it ain't all about you. Go and tell her. I know you won't been telling her. And see, I can tell who's really henpecked. You didn't do it. You scared. He said, I've stripped of my glory. Ain't it amazing? You ever seen anybody that come to the church house and then they'll walk in and they'll say, now, I didn't really come to sing. All about me, 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 me. Oh, I didn't get to sing. I'm mad at the preacher. Mad at the preacher because I didn't get my way. It's not about me. It's not about you. And I don't care where God is. He's working on the stuff we treasure. He stripped Him of His prestige. According to 7 verse 9, He has stripped me of my glory. And then He stripped Him of His position. He's taken the crown. And then He stripped Him of His power. In verse 9, it was on His head. Let me tell you something. This morning, you may think you have great power, but God's going to work on the stuff you treasure if you want a His. Look, verse 10. He hath destroyed me on every side. I am gone, and mine hope that He hath removed like a tree. He also kindled His wrath against me. Now watch this, verse 13. You always remember what this preacher said. Now you watch this. Verse 13. He hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are verily estranged from me. My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. You know something? Rich people will never know who their friends are. You'll be amazed that people hang around you for what they can get out of you. You'll never know who your friends are till you hit the bottom. Now, buddy Long, listen, young man, as long as you got plenty of weed and plenty of Budweiser and plenty of things that crowd loves to run with, they'll run with you all day long. But you let your trinkets get gone, and you're going to find out who your friends really are then. See, Job didn't know who his friends was till he lost everything. And you won't know who yours are till you lose everything. Isn't it bad? What's that man's name that has that show, You're Fired? Got that funny hairdo? Trump. He don't know if he got a friend to his name. You know that? He don't know who his friends are. Boy, if you ain't got a lot, you'll know who your friends are. What are you saying, preacher? Where's God at? God is working on the stuff that we treasure. Look what he said. His kinfolks failed him, and familiar friends has forgotten me. But aren't you glad there's a Jesus in the Bible that'll be a friend to you at all times? And He'll pick you up. Now, watch this. Where's God? He's watching the steps I travel. He's working on the stuff I treasure. Now, Paul said that I just may know Him, that it would become as dung. That I just may know Him. You ought to thank the Lord that He busted your treasure. You ought to thank the Lord that He's knocked the shine off a lot of things down here that you can worship this morning. You know, I don't know why it is. Why does egos raise when we get really blessed? But it does. To whom much is given, much is acquired. Would you really like to be rich? Would you really like to be the richest in all the East? A lot of things come with that. Lastly, where's God? You ever wondered where He was? Can I tell you this morning, He's watching the steps you travel. He knows every step we take. And so that's why I find it real important about where I go and what I do when nobody else is looking. Because He's a-looking. He knows what I'm a-doing Monday through Saturday. And He knows what you're doing. You see, where's God? Oh, He's watching the steps you travel. He's working on the stuff we treasure. Lastly, where's God? Well, in Job 42, verse 1, He's witnessing through the sufferings of my trouble. He's witnessing through the sufferings of my trouble. To God be the glory. Look what He said in Job 42 and verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that Thou canst do everything. Now God don't want us walking around knowing if it's some things He can't do. Because He can do anything. I don't care what you've done wrong, God can forgive you for it. I don't care how far gone your home may seem to be today, God can fix it. I don't care how discouraged and how depressed you are, God can fix it. Because Job said, now I know You canst do everything. Verse 5, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Verse 10, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. The Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. I've noticed this, when God gets everything, that everything else from there on out's His. You see, Miss Sherry, if you'd come this morning, I want you to play me something on that piano, and I want to ask you something today. If you lose everything you've got, you can't glory in much, can you? Don't you think that God gets the glory out of a ministry like this when there's not a big money crowd hanging around? What about that food on your table? I wonder who gets the glory for that when you lost your job and God just continued to feed your family. What about that work when everybody else's work was shot and gone? Ain't it amazing He kept you boys in work? You wasn't doing that. So that God gets the glory out of everything. Matter of fact, the Bible said that and God blessed him double with everything he had. You know something? Job couldn't walk around and say, look what I've done. They say, Job, you've got everything. Well, you've got more than you've ever had. Why? Because I just kept on trusting Him. I kept on serving Him. I kept on loving Him. And you know something, what I found out? God will hurt you, but He loves you way too much to harm you. Amen. He knows best. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Ain't it amazing, though, what it's took to get us to where we are? Isn't it amazing? You remember when somebody come and put something maybe in your hand and you didn't know where your next bill's going to be paid, and you know what you done? You said, to God be the glory. He loves to get the glory. Wonder how many churches have stole His glory. Wonder how many people stole His glory. You know, I've noticed something about when you lose basically everything you got, when you get something, you really do appreciate it. To God be the glory. Where's God? He's witnessing through your suffering. Of your trouble. How can somebody stand up, just lost a child, and said, to God be the glory? How can somebody just walked out of a graveyard and said, to God be the glory? How could somebody just lost everything they got and say, to God be the glory? The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He loves the glory. Church, let's give Him the glory. Matter of fact, I've noticed He loves to put me in situations that I know that's out of my control. So when He fixes it, then I say, to God be the glory. What you need this morning? You just stay with the Lord. You do what He's told you to do. Follow this old manual we got. It'll work out. You might not know where He is today, but I guarantee you He's a-watching you. He loves you. He's getting glory out of what He's doing in your life. He's getting glory. You ever noticed He worshipped when He lost it all? Where He's wanting to get me and you this morning is simply to give Him the glory.